Hello and welcome to Ask an Atheist with me, your guest host, Jeremy Whitman. Our regular host, Sam Mulvey, is on assignment working on a reboot of My Two Dads. With me today is our educational and Judaism correspondent, Miss Rebecca Friedman. How you doing, Professor Friedman?
I'm doing great, Jeremy.
And we are also joined today by a great friend of the show, Mr. Nick Two-Band Kennedy. How's it going, Nick?
I feel fantastic.
Awesome. How's everyone's week been?
It was my first week back at school, so 5 full days of teaching. That was kind of fun. Nick, it's really nice having you in the studio.
Yeah, it has been a while since I've been here.
Yeah. How was the first week back?
Fine.
Aside from 5 full days of fun. I thought we were going to have to drop an F-bomb there. I thought I was going to have to put a marker on the timeline. It's my first week back to school, and the terror.
Yeah,
the terror
it's
involved
kind
with that.
Of terror. I don't know, it's 11 years doing it, and it's, you know, it's okay. Very 2016. I don't know. We're still writing 2015 at the top of our papers, but just like everyone else. We still take those archaic things called handwritten notes into our notebooks.
Yeah, me being not in education, I didn't have really any time off, so it was just another work week for me.
Yeah, I'm not in education either. I'm just a lowly radio host. All right. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the continuing, not very surprising fight by certain factions in our wonderful country of America against marriage equality.
Yeah. So, this summer we had Obergefell v. Hodges, that Supreme Court ruling. It effectively ended any legal opposition to marriage equality. But there are still people holding out in the fight against the rights of same-sex couples. So we've got some really interesting little things going on in the country to this end.
Yeah, I'm not exactly shocked. I mean, when certain factions in this country, often fundamentalist Christians, get a hold of an issue like this, like, say, abortion, they're just going to keep running at it until they die.
Well, it reminds me of, Brown versus Board of Education to integrate schools in 1954, and you had through the early 70s, you know, governors saying, no, I'm not going to integrate my schools, or governors in other places having to call in the National Guard to integrate schools.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like it was clear into the 1970s they were still fighting that fight, which, you know, was legislated on in, what, the early mid-60s?
Well, it wasn't legislation. It was the Supreme Court ruling, and same thing here. So we have, you know, 1954 to 1972 to, you know, have people fighting. I'm hoping that we don't have to have 20 years of other people at little levels fighting this thing.
I believe it might be more than 20 years because this is a more biblically tied in issue, I believe, than Jesus never said, a child shall not educate with another child of a different race. But he did say, a man shall not lie with a man as he would with a woman.
For they are equally abominated? I don't know. Yeah, it's, well,
Leviticus says a lot of things.
We got our favorite character, Justice Roy Moore. Do you guys remember when he was up here in Tacoma speaking at the Pierce County prayer breakfast?
No.
No, I don't.
You don't remember because you did not set foot in that, nor did I. I actually was quite proud of our Tacoma City Council, that no one from the city council or the mayor decided to make an appearance at that particular prayer rally and prayer breakfast. It was the Pierce County, and he was the keynote speaker, and they said, no, your views on LGBT folks are reprehensible. We are not giving you the benefit of seeing anyone from the city of Tacoma.
Yeah, you don't want to tacitly endorse him
we
just
are
over
not
some free pancakes.
We are not a city of bigots.
So Justice Roy Moore, he's Alabama Chief Justice. He issued an order to the state's probate judges to stop issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The order claimed that judges have a ministerial duty to uphold the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Moore claims that since the case challenging the state's law is still pending, the Supreme Court's ruling in the Obergefell decision didn't apply. Moore also argued that the Supreme Court's decision only applied to the jurisdictions that the plaintiffs came from. The Montgomery Advisor reached out to the probate judges around the state and found that 41 of the 56 that they could reach were ignoring Moore's order and continuing to issue licenses to any couples who applied.
Because those people realized that the Supreme Court is a little more powerful than the state courts.
I get the idea that he thinks the Supreme Court is a court with everything on it and cheese in the crust and just doesn't quite understand our legal system.
I'm wondering about these 15 probate judges that were not ignoring Moore's order and, you know, I wonder from the perspective of that, are they wanting to not upset their particular chief justice in their state? Are they hoping for promotion? Are they hoping to, you know, just say, well, I'm throwing my hands up in the air. I can't possibly be advised one way or the other. It's not my place. And if that's the case, are they more against LGBT folks getting married, or are they and not wanting to tick off the higher ups, or are they actually wanting to refuse to issue marriage licenses but want the plausible deniability and not, you know, be directly labeled a bigot and just say I'm just following orders?
I feel like if you asked all 15 of them that, you might get 15 completely different answers involving anything from, I need my pension to stay intact if a judge gets a pension. I mean, I don't want to speak for these 15 judges, but I would say at least 3 of them are probably bigots.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, like, you get...
And one of them's an Apple fanboy.
I'm sure that 3 out of 56 of any group of people you're going to find are going to have some bigoted leanings. But does anyone know if these judges are appointed or elected?
I actually don't know in terms of how Alabama works at this point. I know that in this case, Roy Moore, he was acting not in a court ruling, but speaking merely and giving a directive as the head of the court system in Alabama.
In his capacity as someone who can tell other judges what to do, he was acting in that capacity.
Right, but
not he wasn't settling a case.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just issuing his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, and it's unfortunate that you could have an opinion like that that would have weight and, you know, I mean, and I guess I kind of feel for these probate judges that are stuck here violating their Supreme Court justices' orders, mm-hmm. versus the federal, you know, the U.S. Supreme
elected
Court.
Elected or appointed, a judge is a political position in this country either way, because you might have political ambitions and who knows what their reasoning is. If your boss tells you to do something patently stupid, you can often argue with him, but often you end up having to do something patently stupid.
Yeah.
Your best thing to do is just save that whole email stream. That's what they tell me. When someone tells you to do something dumb, save the email stream so that when they throw you under the bus. So judges, save all your emails from this lunatic who doesn't understand that the Supreme Court is not a pizza.
If the Supreme Court were a pizza, would it really be the everything with the stuffed cheese crust?
Hmm? No, there'd be a segment of it which was very traditional and backwards.
So calzone?
Hmm? Scalia? Is Scalia the one we don't like?
Scalia has some interesting things to say about religion and the separation of
the
church
Scalia
and state. So,
part,
yeah, I think that
the
qualifies.
Scalia part of that pizza would be the one like, that's grandpa. He's a little bit of a racist. That's just how he was raised.
Is it cheese? Is it pepperoni?
It is just cheese. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just plain white cheese.
And for some reason, it's angry about things that most people just think, it's okay.
Yeah, because all those foreigners coming in and taking, you know, valuable pizza space.
What adding else? In weird pizza toppings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ones of different colors.
We've given this analogy way too much airtime. I decree. I don't care what the Supreme Podcast Court says, we're moving on to the next story. What do we got from the bigotry files?
From the bigotry file, we move to South Carolina.
Shocker!
Two legislators in South Carolina proposed a bill that would ban same-sex marriage in the state. State Representatives Mike Burns and Bill Chumley introduced House Bill 4513, the South Carolina Natural Marriage Defense Act. The bill would define marriage as between a man and a woman and order the state attorney general to defend the law against any challenges. Chumley said, "People who love the state and know that we love freedom, I suspect that a lot of them see this as I do."
Yeah, people who love freedom often want to oppress people in the exact same ways. They also have the same, like, set of testicles hanging off the back of their Ford F-150 that they bought.
And what better way to promote freedom than by, well, literally taking it away?
Yeah, the Natural Marriage Act. Is there a reference here to biblical, like the biblical idea of marriage?
I haven't actually found it in House Bill 4513, but what I'm just baffled by is that this particular article comes from 2016, 2015. I mean, as opposed to, you saw a lot of these in like 2002, mm-hmm. when you had legislatures trying to, you know, put these laws into effect, or ballot initiatives saying, hey, we're not going to be like Iowa and Massachusetts. We're going to enshrine enshrine this into our constitution, or we're going to enshrine this into our legal system, into our legal code at the state level. We saw these all over the place in the mid-2000s, right?
And very notably Prop 8 in California.
Did they not get the memo that we're not, that we're like 10 years beyond that? I mean, I don't know what they're
trying
to do.
South Carolina is one of those states. I have this theory that if you drive to certain parts of the country, you do go back at least 10 years in certain areas.
Yeah, I believe that.
From touring, you encounter some antiquated ideas.
Yeah, I've been to Montgomery.
South Carolina?
Alabama.
Ah.
Yeah.
There's one in South Carolina, too? Do they have it? No. But I really just don't know what they're going for here, other than the last dying cry of a dying, you know, old general that is clearly dying and refuses to believe that he's dying. I don't know. Does he think that he's the Braveheart being eviscerated?
What I don't understand with this whole collection of stories that we're working on here is it not enough that your government has made it perfectly legal for you to hate things and be vocal about it without needing the government's support to endorse your hate? Just get a sign like every other Yahoo and go out in the street and ring a bell and a sandwich board and wear that sign and be a crazy person. Why do you have to involve the government in your hate? I would fight for the death for someone to be able to nonviolently hate other people, even if I disagree with that. That is a right we should all have. Don't involve the government with it.
I think the thing here is that they don't believe that their government should be impartial to it.
I think that there's this weird, convoluted idea that there is an intertwining of church and state in this country, which there somewhat is, but in theory should not be at all. We should not have a Pierce County prayer breakfast with a homophobe from Alabama at it, ever, unless that's a private event. You know, it should not involve legislatures and things like that. And that since they see this intertwined thing, that they somehow feel that their point isn't valid if the government isn't involved. And I'll tell you something, it's not valid or invalid even with the government's involvement. Your point's either right or wrong on its own. It doesn't need that institution to back it up.
What I think here is that I'm just sort of baffled by a misunderstanding about the dangers of the government endorsing your particular opinion and viewpoint in this case. The thing, what you were just saying, Jeremy, about someone being able to vocally and loudly hate someone else or hate someone else's decisions, the ability...
The way our forefathers intended.
Right. the ability to practice one's religion, unbothered, or to not practice any religion, that freedom actually protects the haters. It protects the ultra religious. It protects the weird woo woo eclectic religious. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you start saying we're going to legislate this particular viewpoint as opposed to neutrality, well, then you have a struggling of the viewpoints. Which one is going to end up on top? Which one is going to end up in the lead? It very well may not be yours, especially if you are of a minority religious viewpoint.
Absolutely. If you're for free speech, you support free speech for the people, especially if they disagree with you.
Free speech is useless if you don't get to hear opposing ideas and comprehend them and then talk back. It stops the conversation if we don't have free speech.
Yes, and I feel that people who are still trying to pass this anti-gay marriage legislation are people who are living in an echo chamber.
Hey, listen, the people trying to pass the anti-gay marriage legislation do not want to think about two men having sex with each other. Although it's apparently the only thing they think about, because they're fighting all day and all night, staying up at night, writing, how can we get around this law? How can we get in? We need normal marriage, like in the Bible, where people had concubines and multiple wives and all. I think normal marriage, like, as they wanted to define it.
Oh, is that the defense of the natural marriage?
Yeah,
that's
one of their defenses, is like, you know, one man, one woman, like in the Bible. Well, for one, your Messiah character was never married. And for two, I think if you ran the numbers, a one man, one woman marriage in the Bible might be in the minority of the text. How many concubines did Solomon have and wives? I think the whole number ends up at like 1,200 women.
And I think, like, I want to take this into a different direction. The Natural Marriage Defense Act. Are they trying to defend the right of people to get married while naked?
Oh, that's very natural. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. close it.
You have that right in this country. Absolutely. Think if you express that idea to them, they might legislate specifically against Nick Kennedy. The Clothed Natural Marriage Defense Act.
They're trying to close that loophole.
Listen, I am proud to live in a country where the people who set it up were so forward-thinking, they said, everyone should be able to believe whatever they want in a nonviolent way and have discussions about it amongst each other. And we'll leave the government out of that. The government will just cover, you know, very basic stuff like you don't get to stab people or take their stuff. I do not understand this idea that you need... that you have free speech, but you want it only for yourself, right? That's what they're asking for, special rights to oppress other people, which, and then oftentimes when you say South Carolina or one of these Alabama, you know, kind of more the more yihad jihad type states, I would call them, you're talking about people who want to intertwine the government with this. And what they're saying is, in essence, I have a friend, he's perfect, and he has told me what love is, and I think since I have someone informing me, an entity that you cannot see, I should be able to tell you how to define love in your life. Well, that is insane to me. That is absolutely nuts. If you want to put on a sandwich board or start a blog, go right ahead, but do not try and tell me how to define love in my life.
Absolutely.
I think, though, when we look to free speech, there seems to be, amongst some government officials or people who work in a government capacity, a fundamental misunderstanding.
And a lot of college students lately, by the polls I've seen, also coming. I mean, let's include the left and the right on this. There seems to be a large misunderstanding of the concept of free speech in this country.
One of the things that's a free speech hallmark is, yes, for an individual citizen, but as soon as you are a functionary of the government, your speech can and will be restricted and should be. I think this leads us to our third story on the anti-marriage equality train.
Yeah, what do you got for us, Professor?
A Tennessee judge has been publicly reprimanded for sarcastically criticizing the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision in a divorce ruling. Judge Jeffrey Atherton denied a couple a divorce last summer, claiming that the court's authority had been preempted by the Supreme Court. Atherton continued, saying the ruling created a super federal judicial form of government, termed critocracy by some and judiciocracy by others, with its iron fist and limp wrist. And that's me quoting Judge Atherton right there.
Oh, is he cutting a rap album? What's going on
dropping
there?
Dropping some bars there, yeah. Justice Atherton.
So, iron fist and limp wrist. So is the iron fist is just kind of dragging along the ground? An iron fist, you need at least a 10 wrist, not a limp one. That's gay bashing is what he's doing, some hashtag bullying, and that should not be allowed.
I do believe so. Actually, no, as a functionary of the government, he shouldn't at this point. He later vacated his opinion and allowed the divorce to occur, but the Tennessee...
He vacated his opinion. I have this opinion. I am actually leaving it. The opinion's sitting down there on 12th Street. I am at home. Pay no attention to me. That's no longer my opinion. I walked out of it because I was... chastised by my boss, I'm guessing?
Yeah, the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct still felt the need to send a letter of public reprimand for his actions.
As they should.
So, and this is, you know, the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct, so there's some good things. You know, not everything that you would deem yeehaw jihad sort of coming together is completely without reason.
Right.
There are a few reasonable people in the South. Let's be completely clear about that.
There's actually some...
I take issue. There's several. There's at least two dozen reasonable people.
There's some really active, you know, atheist and humanist communities that are
absolutely
very much thriving.
Yeah. The more oppressive the area you live in, it seems the more active the atheist and humanist communities will encounter. I've been to Northern California where, as was stated on Silicon Valley, Christianity is borderline illegal, and they have no atheist meetups in the parts of Northern California that I've been to. So,
I think that, yeah, like you were saying, you know, dropping his bars and putting out a rap album there. He's just trying to be kind of funny, you know, critocracy and judiciocracy, you know, I mean, he's quoting that. Cry, in this case, we should say, is K-R-Y, meaning judges. So
meaning the cover band from Tacoma.
Yeah, he's showing off his Greek.
Running the government.
And I think, like, I don't think you're too far off by him trying to make a rap album, because Judy Idiocracy sounds kind of like, it's kind of rhythmic.
Judy Idiocracy,
Judy,
yeah.
Judy Idiocracy.
Sounds like a Mike Judge film. All right, we're going to head to break, and we will be back in just a few minutes.
I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide a bajillion dollars in your locker.
Wow! A bajillion dollars?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal! Here you go!
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is, it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEXRadio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
All right, welcome back to Ask an Atheist with me, your guest host, Jeremy Whitman. Sam Mulvey is on assignment in the war on St. Patrick's Day, reintroducing snakes to Ireland. How are you, Becky, smirking at me?
I'm good. I'm thinking about, you know, Sam with his little, you know, penny whistle leading mm-hmm. all the snakes. Or maybe it's sort of a more covert operation. He just, you know, makes little periodic trips over there and, you know, puts a few little snakes over here and over there. Is it like a Plan 9 from Outer Space where you do it, you know, town by town, person by person?
Mm. All the empty bottles of Guinness he sent us back have really very little information on them.
Guinness doesn't come in bottles, silly.
It does. You can get in bottles, can't you?
I don't know.
In Ireland?
Perhaps.
I don't think any Irishman in Ireland would want to drink Guinness out of a bottle.
No. When people go to Ireland and then I hook up with them later on OkCupid, because apparently every girl who's ever been interested in me has gone to Ireland, they're always like, do you like Guinness? No, I think it's horrible. I'd rather drink a liquefied steak. And they go, but have you ever had it out of the tap in Ireland? No, but that would not improve my experience here buying it at a Safeway in any way, shape, or form. So I'm not going to drink it. Oh, so we have some responders to Peggy's challenge, which is a challenge by one of our listeners from the delightful province of Kent, Washington. For listeners to support the show. Yeah, that's the first time delightful in Kent has ever been used in a sentence before. Sorry, Peggy. Don't mean to rag on your whole hometown. Who are our responders this week?
We've got Movie Man and Alexander, who have contributed. They were our first 2016 contributors to Peggy's Challenge. New year, new bank balance. Bank balance kind of low, you know.
Yeah.
So responding to really help keep Ask an Atheist in production. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
guys.
We do appreciate that. Thank you. You cannot see it at home, but I just hit the button for a balloon and confetti drop here in the studio.
Now I got it in my hair.
Yeah. That's going to make a good drop later. Thanks, Nick. So,
don't you dare.
We have some news relating to some other news that we have done recently coming out of Pakistan. What is going on in Pakistan?
Well, this is an update to a previous episode where we talked about the plight of Bangladeshi secular bloggers and authors and publishers, some of whom are atheists, some of whom merely just want the word to get out there. And in this case, what does it have to do with Pakistan? Well, we know that Pakistan has some pretty harsh anti-blasphemy laws.
That
and
sometimes have wound up with people being at the end of a machete, not by the government, but by
concerned citizens. In
yeah.
Bangladesh, the plight is that you have concerned citizens. I think concern is our most understated way of saying rabid Islamic...
psychotic.
Exactly.
Murderers.
Really
concerned, though.
Taking
concern does work.
Concern does, yes. Mm-hmm. Taking machetes to the Bangladeshi authors. And then in Pakistan, meanwhile, we have these anti-blasphemy laws. So, most recently, a recent edition of the International New York Times was printed in Pakistan with an entire article on Bangladeshi bloggers completely deleted. The article in question featured an in-depth look at the recent string of attacks on atheist bloggers in Bangladesh. New York Times Pakistan correspondent Salman Masood tweeted out a picture of the issue with giant blank spaces on the two pages where the article should be. The only writing in the blank spaces is a statement saying, "This article was removed by our publishing alliance in Pakistan. The International New York Times and its editorial staff had no role in its removal."
Oh, that was a good thing for the New York Times to do, actually, is put that text in there. It adds to the mystery.
Now, we obviously the Bangladeshi situation has been covered in, at least we've been talking about it quite a bit lately. Do we know what is the Pakistani analog to this? Are there blasphemy laws nearly as strict, or you know, possibly even stricter than Bangladesh?
Well, Bangladesh, the people are not being attacked because they are violating any blasphemy laws. There is freedom of speech and publication to this way. The publications that were being made are completely legal. It is non-governmental, rabid Islamic, you know, anti-free speech
vigilantes.
I'm not going to say activist in this case.
Vigilantes, I guess, is even actually a too soft of a term. They should be called
murderers.
Yeah, murderers, because they're not actually they're not being Batman and enforcing a law. They're enforcing a law that they made up in their head based on their religion.
Absolutely.
But in this case, Nick, Pakistan does have strict anti-blasphemy laws. We've seen that at some point you have people that are accused of blasphemy, which in Pakistan is punishable by death. Now, the frequency with which someone is killed or is put to death due to blasphemy is pretty low, but it doesn't stop folks from being imprisoned and having their case go on and on and on. It certainly doesn't stop mob attacks in Pakistan either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the craziest thing is when people actually do reach trial in Pakistan for blasphemy, the most ridiculous thing is that the charges, the actual actions that qualified as blasphemy in the first place, the first complaints that generated those blasphemy complaints, cannot even be uttered in a courtroom because their mere utterance would constitute blasphemy on the part of the judges and the lawyers and the folks in the courtroom themselves. So whatever someone said that's ostensibly offensive to the prophet can't even be mentioned.
So it's kind of like in Life of Brian, where the people are getting stoned for saying Jehovah.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, it's that ridiculous level.
This reveals an actual, like a deeper religion. A monotheistic religion should be a supremely self-confident entity if it actually believes that it has a direct line to the creator of the universe and the ultimate moral authority. This sort of thing reveals a form of cowardice, in my opinion, on the part of the religion, to where they are terrified that if they even let people entertain the idea that they might be wrong, that should be punishable by death. Or in this case specifically, they're terrified that if people know that in another country, other people are entertaining the idea that there is no God or that maybe there's some problems with this religion, even that information's too much. To me, that's cowardice, even if you enforce it in a murdering type way. But this sort of censorship, to me, is a cowardly act by an institution that, if it was actually in touch with the things it says it's in touch with, should not have any reason to fear anything at all, right?
But even if the requirement to for blasphemy is so it's so nebulous that anything could be taken as blasphemy, you're literally fearing for your life if you publish an article.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I don't think I could ever understand, because I live in an area where I could say whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And
because you're not a judge, right?
I am not. I am not. I
Nick
am
Kennedy
not,
is not an arm of the government.
I am not.
Not yet.
No. But
Nick
I can.
Kennedy,
I can say
2016.
But I can say what I want without fear of being put to death by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Or by assassins that are, you know, coming by with their machetes. Either way, we've got, whether it's governmentally endorsed like it is in Pakistan, or governmentally overlooked like it is in Pakistan and Bangladesh, or governmentally legislated against, but they do not have control over mobs to protect their dissenters and protect their minority viewpoints.
I think it is important that we note here that Islam is a religion of peace, and that if you disagree with that, they might cut your head off. That is an important distinction. Okay? So do not, in this country, we don't have to worry about that too much, although it has become increasingly a bit of an issue, like the attack in California recently that was motivated by that. I mean, we don't have to worry about it to the level that a Dutch cartoonist might have to worry about offending Islam. Certainly, we're much more secure as we are much farther away.
Certainly. I think that what this does show is the importance of information, and that if we can have information that is open to everyone, it horribly brings to light that there are people that would kill to stop that information from getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's incumbent upon those of us that live in areas and have the means to propagate that information to do so.
Yeah, someone should start a radio show about such a thing.
And also, you might just have to step back and think, and, well, if you have to kill people to keep an idea from spreading, maybe your ideas are wrong.
I'm considering killing you right now for saying that, Nick.
Good thing I removed all the machetes from this studio.
Phew.
So we've got some other kinds of things in other countries that are going on besides, maybe not endorsing the killings of people or the censorship of information. But here's one that is just, and one case it could have gone so well. And another example of some massive legislative blockade of things. And this is not in the U.S. This, interestingly enough, is in the Philippines. So the Filipino legislature refused to fund a program for providing birth control to the poor. A law passed in 2014 requires government-run healthcare facilities to provide free condoms and free birth control pills, and makes sex education mandatory in public schools. The budget proposed by President Benigno Aquino's office included funds for the contraceptives, but the legislature cut those funds before passing the bill. The Philippines is almost 80% Catholic, and the church has fought against the birth control legislation since its proposal.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising. The church is very actively fighting against any sort of birth control in what I term these emerging markets or long-term markets for the Catholic Church, which I think of as more impoverished countries that don't have as universal access to the internet, where a lot of Africa is that way, and the Catholic Church fights very hard against condoms in Africa, to the point of at one point saying condoms caused AIDS and then retracting that after the damage had been done, to where that rumor is spreading all over Africa. And South America, which has very devout, sections of massive amounts of Catholics, they very much push that birth control thing, and apparently in the Philippines. Here in America, we don't hear about it that much, because it would just diminish their numbers, right?
Well,
from a business standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Catholic Church to run that agenda so hard here in America. Certainly the Pope did speak about it when he was here, but it's not pushed in the same way that it. They certainly didn't come to America and say, by the way, condoms cause AIDS. Keep having Catholic babies to give us Catholic money down the line.
I don't think the church needs to talk about it too much because the evangelicals are doing a great job of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you have someone that's doing your talking points for you, you don't need to invest that much
in
it.
The evangelicals aren't anti-tubligation too often or anti-condom or anything like that. Now, education and free condoms they're against. But the Catholics, you know, the Catholics go with the nuclear option on birth control, which you can only use a form of birth control that involves charting the cycles of the moon or something. I don't really know much about sex, but...
Well, you know, we should, you're right, make that distinction that not every evangelical Christian would be against every kind of birth control, but the most vocal that is getting political, the most vocal that is paying lots of money to, quash any legislation that has people being able to express their sexuality publicly or marry who they want to marry or use the bathroom that matches who they are. I mean... We're talking about some very vocal folks, even if they are a minority, but someone who's growing. And so I really think that the Catholic Church needn't push this too hard because there's already folks that are saying the only sex education that should be available is the promise ring. You should only have abstinence. You shouldn't use condoms. Only when you get married should you be able to have sex. And in that case, you should have lots of babies when you do it.
The only education is no education.
I'm saying... that the Catholic Church's corporate office in the Vatican doesn't think it makes a lot of business sense to push the don't get a tubligation agenda too hard in America. I think that they would see their dollars go down from the American markets.
They are losing their their adherence in the United States.
In most places, with good access to information, they are losing ground.
They're losing ground not only to secularization, but they are losing ground to a diversity of Protestant religions. Mm-hmm. So you have in South America, as you said, this long-term stronghold of the Catholic Church, where you have increased numbers of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and evangelical Protestants. Still not as great as Catholic numbers. But here's the other thing. Even in places where you have a solid Catholic core, the beliefs and values and opinions of individual Catholics differs tremendously from the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. You have people, 71% of Catholic Americans saying we believe that gay people should be able to get married. 71% is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's nearly three quarters of the people that ostensibly profess your faith that are going directly against the faith.
And even when I used to counter protest in front of Planned Parenthood every week, against the dead baby people. Don't worry, I was one of the good guys.
So supporting the
efforts
of Planned Parenthood.
Yes, I'm a very vocal supporter of Planned Parenthood. And one of the people who was on my side was a devout Catholic. Who'd have thought that a devout, or supposedly a devout Catholic, would be holding up signs in support of Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, and there are different levels of Catholicism adherence as well. Some people are only Catholic in name and on Christmas and Easter and Lent.
But I'm sure if the Pope was to meet this woman and find out what she was doing, she'd be excommunicated like that.
Well, I'm not going to speak for Pope Big Lebowski, as I like to call him, because he's like the new hip, cool, hey man, I'm just here to, let's all have fun with our oppressive religion.
Now I'm imagining him in a woolly sweater.
It works really well, right? That's what I call him, Pope Big Lebowski. Let's not throw all this at the Catholic Church, though. Although they are an evil organization that hides child molesters, let's also say that the Filipino legislature needs to fund this program. Unless their laws are completely different than ours, once it's been passed like that, you need to fund it, right? We're looking at a battle in the Philippines, one that I think I'm optimistic about, because the Philippines is a place that does need birth control and sexual education. They are a third world country, impoverished and not having, I am a radical who believes that a woman owns her own body.
You know, I think maybe these people are voting against it just because Pope says no, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason I could think of why they're doing this. And that is such flawed logic. It pains me to think that people will go to such lengths because someone says no.
Don't rule out completely the fact that you have a president saying one thing and then his legislature saying another. Mm-hmm. This could be political grandstanding. And where else do we see that in the world? Oh, of course, nowhere. But one thing I would like to point out is we had the president of a majority Catholic country mandating comprehensive sexuality education in the public schools. That's tremendous. We're not able to get that done here.
Yeah.
Even in a place like Washington where it says if a school decides to offer sex ed, it has to be medically accurate, but you don't have to. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. even in a place like here, it's state by state, you know, we have abstinence-only education. We're still getting out from underneath that for the last 20 years, which has worked so well, I'm sure.
An atheist should buy a billboard with Bristol Palin holding her two children on it for abstinence-only education. Is that illegal? Can you do something like that? Or
free speech.
Yeah. All right, send us your money.
We got something completely different, Jeremy.
Yeah?
Yeah. It is back in the U.S. It has nothing to do with laws, but it does have something to do with, oh, I don't know, protecting atheists or failing to protect someone who is even joking about being an atheist.
Oh, yeah? What part of the pizza is it from?
It is a Louisville woman, so the Louisville part of the pizza. So, Louisville woman was arrested for assaulting a disabled man last October for joking about being an atheist. According to police reports, Laura Reed was visiting the disabled man in his home when he joked that he didn't believe in God. Reed then beat the man with his metal cane until it broke, causing a concussion and a broken arm, among other injuries. Police say that when Reed left, she took his wallet, his keys, and $50. The man crawled to a nearby mini-mart and was able to contact emergency services. Authorities say that the man identified Reed as his attacker and that they had known each other previously.
Hmm. Well, based on that, I'm not sure if we should chalk this one up to religious adherence, bath salts, or both.
Yes. The answer to all of them, I assume, is yes.
Is this a political battle here between the dude with the cane that says, I don't believe in God, just joking, and then she's pretending to be the Filipino legislature?
Beats him nearly to death with his cane, breaks the cane on him, and then God wants her to take that $50. I smell bath salts. I smell bath salts on this one. All right, we're going to go to break. We will see you in just a moment.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist with me, your guest host, Jeremy Whitman. Sam Mulvey is on assignment writing a strongly worded letter to Earth's Professor Umbridge, Saudi Arabia, who is having a bit of a tiff this week with Iran. It is so upsetting to see such drama happening at the Ministry of Magic.
I think my favorite development in this, and by favorite, I would say tragic, is that Iranians are no longer going to be allowed to make pilgrimage to Mecca, because we can all predict how well that's going to go.
Oh, well, until they get some sort of safety measures installed there at the pilgrimage to Mecca, or perhaps a new revelation from the Prophet to move to Mecca in an orderly, non-human being trampling way, they might be better off. At any rate, anything that these two governments can do that is childish and infighting and will disabuse people of the idea that they have a direct line to the creator of the universe, I am kind of for, as long as it doesn't end up with anyone dying.
I don't know how well we can count on that, Jeremy.
Not at all, would be my guess. So, what do we got going on here in the States from our little wonderful world of secularism? Oh, Anthony Scalia says there's no constitutional basis for religious neutrality.
What?
Yeah. Antonin Scalia, the bad part of the pizza.
Oh, the bad part of the pizza. U.S. Supreme Court.
Appointed for life and through all senility. The only Supreme Court justice, I believe, actually installed by Stalin.
Well, installed by Stalin. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia claimed that there was no constitutional basis for religious neutrality in a speech last week. The conservative justice was speaking to a Louisiana Catholic school when he argued that the government had no obligation to be neutral when it comes to belief versus non-belief. Scalia claimed that the government couldn't favor one denomination over another, but could favor religion over non-religion. The justice also suggested that America has received favor from God, saying, "I think one of the reasons God has been good to us is that we have done him honor."
If Islam was the majority religion in the United States, I think Antonin Scalia would be saying something a little different.
Well, no, I mean, Islam is religion, so you can favor Islam over atheism, right? That's follows Scalia's logic, right?
There is a certain logic to that is known in the corporate world. Let's say you need to go work for Halliburton in a predominantly Muslim country, and you're going to go maybe to Afghanistan or Iraq. They will give you a video that basically says, "So, you might be kidnapped. If you are kidnapped and you don't believe in God, it's in your best interest to request a Bible and pretend to read it every day, because they will understand that more than they will understand a person of no faith, and your chances of survival will be better."
So, atheists working in predominantly Muslim countries where kidnapping might occur of American contractors, apparently you're Christian now.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you're freed, or you get to Sam Mulvey comes and rescues you under a special ops blanket, covert ops, extracting contractors.
Operation Puff and Drop.
But here we got religious neutrality. One of the reasons that God's been good to the U.S. is that we've done him honor. Does that mean that? He clearly thinks very highly of the U.S., and he clearly thinks very highly of all of the people in the U.S. that have been honoring God.
Mm-hmm. And this seems to be from a certain subset of logic that believes that everything good that happens to America is because God loves us because we love God, and everything bad that happens to America is because God hates us because we've allowed gay people to make out or get married, and global warming is not the cause of all these tornadoes, which are now affecting Western Washington.
Did we have tornadoes in Western
Washington? We're starting to have funnel clouds and stuff here.
We had one.
It's not because the science. It's because two dudes doing it. This man is in one of arguably the most powerful branch of government until he gives up or dies.
I think this pizza slice must be kosher and halal. Since he's favoring what? Can he have both a kosher and halal pizza at the same time versus just a non-religious pizza?
As long as I think it's a, as long as it's a pork-free pizza on matzah, I guess, maybe.
He will not partake of a non-denominational pizza.
And certainly not have any beer with his pizza.
This is always, you get this argument. Oh, you can be any religion you want as long as you're religious. This argument has come up before, not out of his mouth, but out of other people's mouths. This argument's been made. It's obviously wrong, but the idea is, of course, you want to take down the Great Wall of the separation of church and state. Well, they're not succeeding at taking it down with a bulldozer, so they are coming at it with ice picks and hoping no one notices. Oh, you have to be religious of some sort, that's okay, but you can't be non-religious, we won't protect you, and then as you get farther through that wall, you will get the wall knocked down with no one noticing, they're hoping, but they're not going to. Why?
Hey, you know, you can have any pizza you want, just as long as it has cheese on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're lactose intolerant, you can have any pizza you want, just as long as it has cheese on it.
Here in the affluent Western Washington area, we don't go in for those lactose intolerant bigots, Nick Kennedy, or the gluten intolerant.
I can't help but notice that he was making this speech back to Scalia at a Catholic school, and I'm wondering if he would be so bold as to make this kind of speech at a public school. I wonder if he has made this kind of talk at public schools or, you know, colleges or things like that.
Supreme Court justices have an interesting political position in that they cannot be fired.
They cannot be fired, and this particular one was put into place since 1986. Mm-hmm. I must make a correction, Jeremy.
So he's a Reagan nomination?
Yes,
so
not actually installed by Stalin.
No.
But, I mean, what do you think? Have we seen him make these kinds of opinions in rulings, and what's quite sort of alarming and unnerving at this point is that we risk an increasing percentage of our American populace who does not affiliate with any kind of organized religion being disfavored by the government actively, by one of the more powerful branches of our government, actively disfavored. When you say one third of all people under age 40 do not affiliate with a particular religious faith, and you say the government is only supporting two thirds of you who do, that's a huge disenfranchised portion of our population. I mean, isn't that the definition of disenfranchised? We're favoring other people and not you. As the disenfranchised lot gets bigger, you're going to be falling out of favor, Justice.
Well, thankfully, people are fighting to keep the disenfranchised franchised by taking over a federal building in Oregon to defend the rights of white male Americans who own land, one of the most commonly disenfranchised groups in the country.
Mm-hmm. Those poor men could only afford the F-250, not the F-350.
Yeah.
Is Justice Scalia favoring birds over...
Until I hear otherwise, I'm going to assume Justice Scalia is in that building with them, armed. I think Justice Scalia, he is the cranky old white grandpa of the Supreme Court. He's probably a somewhat charming individual in real life. You have to be at some level to be made a Supreme Court justice. It's a political entity as much as a legal entity. But I also think that if you were to pull all his dissenting opinions, there is nothing but comedy gold, probably 600 pages of comedy gold starting in 1986 and just getting more hilarious as society progresses without him and he says wackier and wackier crap.
Are you suggesting that under his robes is a dirty wife beater and a really, really big overstuffed armchair?
I don't want to insinuate that. I want to say it directly, that yes, there is a hillbilly hiding under those robes, a hillbilly bigot who is out of touch.
I was going more
and
for
whose
racist
every
grandma.
Word that has fallen out of this man's mouth in the last couple of years has made me reconsider, like, maybe they shouldn't be appointed for life.
Well, he said that there's nothing wrong with presidents invoking God in speeches. He would like to see more of that. He says, you know, stuff that's not just about religion. Like you said, there's bits of racism in there. One of the more recent Supreme Court cases is looking at affirmative action or race being used as a factor in school admissions. And he said, just based on nothing, essentially, well, I think that blacks would benefit from slower track schools as opposed to our major 4-year research universities. I mean, not based in anything other than his own sort of opining, musings.
Racism. That's what it's based on. It's based on racism.
It's an interesting older, I'm trying, but I'm not succeeding at not being racist, older white gentleman sort of racism that is on display there, interestingly enough. But yeah, Scalia is a bad slice of that pizza.
We're seeing whether, how he'll rule on the Supreme Court case coming up to see whether the healthcare law is shielding faith-based hospitals adequately, because that's everything that we should be invested in, is making sure that someone who's like, you know, has your life or your, baby's life in their hands, or your partner's life or your parents' life in their hands, is having their religious sensibilities properly catered to.
Yeah, make sure that the hospital has the right to deny you life-saving treatment.
I am terrified of the term faith-based hospital. Am I the only one in the room who would like to go to a science-based hospital? I don't even want a theist running a knife through my body. I don't want anyone who thinks they need supernatural assistance to get in there and cut me up. It's always been a little bit of a sticky point with me.
I can see where that perspective would come from, but the bottom line is that you will have a percentage of healthcare providers that are theists, that do have a belief in a religious faith tradition. Mm-hmm. I am in agreement with you that if they at some point say we should be using faith to assist our healthcare directives, from an abstract point of view, all right, maybe, I don't know. But when you have someone that is in complete control of your breathing, of your executive functions, of your spleen, yeah, you want them to be based on their training that they gained through...
The person I hired to look after my spleen actually is an atheist, just based on that.
It's like if you're hiring someone to repair a torn meniscus, you want them to care more about the science than what they do on Sunday.
I don't have any quarrel with someone who goes to church on Sundays and is repairing my torn meniscus, as long as that person who's repairing a torn meniscus was trained in a rigorous way that was based on methods that was gained through scientific knowledge and is essentially an engineer of the body and health. As soon as you start saying, I think that we're going to start praying and not working on my training and that engineering background of how to engineer the human body and the health, then I would have quarrel.
That's the thing. Your life in the hospital, while the knife is in your hand and you have been put under, is a little bit more important than the religion at that time.
But we know that it's not just the individual practitioners, because we know that there's lots of religious people that are practitioners and they operate and they treat people just fine, right? But what's more insidious here is what Scalia is talking about. Should we protect these hospitals, not individual providers, but should we protect hospitals who say we're governed by the Catholic ethical and religious directives, which was determined by a bunch of bishops sitting in a room,
the
not by a
Catholic
bunch of doctors?
Ethical directives?
It's the ethical and religious directives document that was developed not by doctors.
I just find it to be a contradiction in terms Catholics want to put themselves as the Catholic Church, not the Catholic human beings, but the political and religious entity of the Catholic Church wants to tell me what ethics are. Back up.
Well, among those
absolutely
ethics,
back up.
No, among those ethics,
hide child molesters.
Certainly. And yeah. The ones that govern your health care are things like suffering is great.
And lie to women about their reproductive options.
Exactly. So this is what Scalia wants to protect?
Well, that, and also there are many parts of the country where the only healthcare option is a Catholic hospital.
Oh, certainly.
And if, let's say...
Our Lady of the Shady Billing Practices. That's one I've been to.
Well, if a woman goes into one of these rural hospitals that is run essentially by the Catholic Church and she has an ectopic pregnancy, what are her options?
The standard of care is to terminate that pregnancy. The option that's only provided to you is to remove your entire fallopian tube, because they believe that if we remove the entire fallopian tube, magically it won't actually count as aborting a pregnancy, because we're just removing a piece of your organ. And oops, the misplaced fetus happened to come with it. This is the logic. This is the roundabout logic that goes on at these this amongst this Conference of American Bishops to create this document to tell an OBGYN practitioner how to lie to a woman, as you said, about her body.
This international LARPing organization has no business being involved with medicine at all. If they want to give money to it, that's fine. Let's just have a philosophy of, let's not worry about what happens to our money after we spend it.
Leave medicine to the doctors, please, bishops.
So how you guys feel about the end times?
Huh?
The end is nah.
The end is meh.
The end is... We're about 5 minutes from the end of this episode. I'm not sure. What are we talking about
quick,
here?
Give me a sandwich board.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got Victor from Canada who writes into us, I can't help noticing that there are more and more people pushing the idea that things are getting worse. We can't trust the food supply anymore. Autism rates are skyrocketing. Ignore the indicators. The economy is worse now than before Obama. A crime has made things more dangerous, despite all evidence to show that it's dropped a lot. And Victor writes, it's never occurred to me till now to consider how much of the pessimism in the world has to do with the idea that we're in the end times. So does the Ask an Atheist crew feel that the world portrayed by the media, both mainstream and otherwise, would be different if there weren't so many people attached to the idea of things getting dramatically worse so that Jesus can return?
I think it's probably a big factor, but not the biggest. I think the biggest contribution to all this kind of end times talk or things are horrible and we're running out of everything and income disparity is at its biggest point is probably just because that kind of stuff draws eyes to the television and radio.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Exactly.
But certainly the apocalyptic thing, human beings love the idea of the apocalypse. We get another one every few years, right? We had one in 2012. We had another one in May of 2000, what was the one we protested specifically?
End of the world with Harold Camping.
Harold Camping, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But people, every few years, someone comes up and says the end is nigh and, repent your sins. And every time someone does something like that and they have even a small following, the news media covers it because people pay attention to it.
It's fascinating. Zombie movies are a big thing. That Mad Max Fury Road was a huge movie last year.
And even I love talking about that stuff because I think it's kind of funny.
I think there's a few things here. One is that, yes, you do have a human tradition, which seems like to be about 5,000 years old, being very panicked that things are getting worse. I think that that might be reflective just culturally in terms of and sociologically in terms of as people age, they see themselves getting worse, so to speak, right? Your body over the course of your lifetime breaks down. And so you want to extend that to society. So that might be a selfish sociological or psychological thing. I think you also have, with the proliferation of information, you have the very human tendency to fall victim to confirmation bias. You think something, so you start seeing it more often to confirm the first thing that you noticed. If I think, wow, things are getting really bad in terms of the numbers of diseases that are affecting humans. If you're already concerned about that, you're going to start seeing more news media about different diseases. And I think, though, that the one thing that might be different here is that when you have people looking at not necessarily the economy, not necessarily diseases, but when you're looking at things that have to do with how our Earth is changing, that's not based on we think God is angry at us. We have evidence and data to show how we are affecting our Earth. Now, instead of taking that and say it's the end times and we should be, screaming prophets at the top of our buildings, we can actually take that and use it to motivate us to change something. Change something not by restricting people's sexualities. Change something not by saying you must eat this and not this. Change something not by saying you cannot marry this group of people. But change something as saying how are we going to change our lives in ways that we know affect our environment? How are we going to use different products, work in different ways?
What we shouldn't be ignoring here is that the monotheistic Abrahamic religions do to exist need for things to get perpetually worse and for there to be a stop to the clock. They need Armageddon. In order for these religions to, especially Christianity, we hear a lot, the rapture, things like that. They need it. You need that to keep your market intact. You need a couple of things to keep your market intact. You need to restrict information or the way people think. You need them dropping babies out of their baby maker as often as possible so they don't have time to educate all of them. And you need a horrible disaster. Heaven, hell, and Armageddon. You need all those ingredients. If you want to start a religion, that is the little checklist you should put together.
And Becky mentioned confirmation bias. This is exactly the same thing as far as adherence to a religion that would be talking about the end times. Because you read that in your holy book, then you start noticing, oh, the pizza guy put the wrong toppings on my pizza. What a tragedy. You know, the world must be coming to an end.
Yeah. Damn the Scalia pizza.
Pizza, tornadoes, mass deaths, yeah. Ebola. Mushrooms versus olives. Yeah, they're
called. Oh, yeah, that was the most recent Armageddon scare we had in America. Remember that week? Next week, Ebola is going to kill every third American.
Well, and here's the thing. It took about a year and a half for the Ebola outbreak in the three countries in Africa to die down. But you know how we did it? We did it by people.
Praying.
We did not
praying
do it by
hard.
Praying.
We asked everyone in the NFL not to pray for touchdowns anymore because they have, like, apparently the best line to God. To pray for a stop to the Ebola crisis.
We did it through rigorous, trial and error of looking at how do we protect people by having, barriers and by isolating and by...
And then prayed for God to send those things down from heaven to stop the... Am I wrong? Did we not pray the Ebola away?
Oh, man, you're just messing with Victor from Canada now.
I am. No, it was a good email, Victor. We love it. We are at our end times. We are going to go, and we will see you back next week. Thank you all very much for listening. Who was involved in this episode, Becky?
Well, our writer, we got to thank Dave Brulette. Thank you, Jeremy, for hosting again this week. And to me, Becky Friedman, and Nick Kennedy for being on. First time in a long while. Our music is by Chris Coleman and Phil Whitfield. Send us questions and feedback at questions@askanatheist.tv and follow us on Twitter at Ask an Atheist WA.
All right. Thank you all very much and have a good secular day.
I'm kind of hungry. You want to get some pizza?
Yeah, let's go down to that place called SCOTUS.